Seriously, who's blowing up my phone?
Oh, yeah. Powerball.
Big news. Powerball now draws 3 days a week. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. Play now. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player claim.
Oh.
Good morning, Vikings fans, or should I say good afternoon, Vikings fans. This is Morning Joes, brought to you by the good people at Manscaped.com. Head over to Manscaped.com, use discount code Morning Joes, all one word, for 20% off and free shipping. I forgot to mention that last time or the last few times. Free shipping on your next or first order. They got all sorts of cool stuff. Some of which I've tried out, some of which my fiance is like, what are you doing? Where are you going late at night with your ball toner?
I was going to say morning is a good time to manscape, isn't it?
Yeah, so especially
morning Joe's, and then you can manscape afterwards. So.
You know, you got to have a routine, especially before No Shave November. But this is an interesting episode of Morning Joe's. I should introduce myself first. Because I've done this before. I am Joe Johnson, owner of PurplePTSD.com, VikingsTerritory.com, and a brand new website that should be ready in a week or two that I'm excited to explain in about a week or two. A different sport, same philosophy. I'll let people guess which sport that is. I'm here, as always, with Mr. Joe Oberle. How you doing, man?
Good, Joe. You're doing well. Yeah, we had quite, you know, you and I were talking before a show here. It was a great game if you weren't emotionally invested as a fan because, it was a great game if you were, but I think, you know, Vikings fans had to come away with that just like they got kicked in their manscape for crying out loud. It was, you know, for Viking fans starting out, the way that the team started out on both sides of the ball was phenomenal. Built that lead, which it needed to be more than, you know, 13, but it was a great lead. And they you know, the stat I keep walking away with is no third downs, you know, successful third downs by the Seahawks. It's like, Where did this defense come from? And then it just turned in ugly fashion in a matter of 2 minutes, I think, less than 2 minutes. They scored three times and took the lead, and you thought, okay, this is the Vikings we've come to know so far this season. And resilient as heck, they came back down and grabbed the lead back and were in position to win the ball game and came up inches short. It was tough.
An inch short. I don't know. I'm not going to nitpick the spot on that fourth and inches. I mean, he looked so close to me. But it was – that game basically exemplified what it's like to be a Vikings fan, right? Like, you go into it with no expectations whatsoever. I mean, I think the last thing I said on the podcast last week, this one and or the three deep with Wobby one, was what if they won though, right? Because nobody was giving them a snowball's chance in hell to win this game. And for the first half –
coming in.
They dominated them. Yep. And then last year I was at your house for – the Seattle Seahawks Monday Night Football game, and it was wasn't it very similar? Like the Vikings dominated in the first half, then came out and just had this atrocious third quarter.
That sounds familiar. Yep.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it's they have a chance to win it at the end, and then they blow it. So I give them credit for that, but I really genuinely did not think that. I mean, I've kind of tried to set my expectations or mindset to, why bother winning some of these games? Because it's like what's the adage of great teams find ways to win, bad teams find ways to lose in close games. And this is not going to be a 500 team, apparently. You know, they had a chance to go on a run. But, I mean, if looking at really how they played against Seattle and some of these other losses, excluding the first 2 weeks, this team very well could be 3-2, and they could
absolutely
be one of the consensus top 3 to 5 teams in the league. So it's kind of hard to get a gauge on where this team is and how good they are, I guess. I mean, where do you –
Well, you said it right. I agree. You know, you said they could be 3-2. I said the same thing to others, and I make sure to say could rather than should, because you just said it 2 minutes ago that good teams know how to win games like this, and bad teams know how to lose them. They could have very easily won the Titans game. They could have. Who was the one before the Seahawks? Well, I guess it was this
Texans.
One. So yes. Oh, okay. They won that one and this one. So they should have these two wins. They could have these two wins. They could have won. This one, I think they should have. They absolutely should have. They dominated this team in so many ways. They played like the team that maybe you think the coaching staff thought they were going to eventually have when they came into the season, because I never felt there was any panic from Zimmer and what have you, losing all those defensive players and losing Stefanski as an offensive coordinator. I never felt like in the off season that they had the panic that maybe you and I and other fans did. They always seemed relatively confident, and you wondered, is that just bravado and is that just PR speak or what have you? But I think we saw the team that Zimmer knows he might be getting sooner or later. I mean, some of these younger players are contributing. As he said today at his press conference, he says Gadney was, is coming along each week better and better. He says he's sometimes out of position, but he said he's got a lot on his plate because he's working inside, playing inside and playing outside. And suddenly, you know, he says he's starting to see it click for him week by week. So maybe they're going to get there. And maybe next year when you get Danielle Hunter back and if Anthony Barr's still around and Ngakoue's on the team and these guys are another a whole season underneath on the corners, maybe that defense does, you know, move up in the ranks and the offense hopefully maintains with another a new guard put in there that can play maybe a little bit better than Mr. Samia on pass blocking. So maybe that's what's going on. I want to hope that and think that. I don't know that. You know, you could say it. You could look at it optimistically that way, or you could say, "Oh my God, they were just all fired up to play this game, and that was their best shot. That was their best bullet, and they're never going to be any better than that the rest of the year." So,
yeah, it's got to be incredibly disheartening to lose that game for this team.
Oh man,
I mean the way that the defense was playing, and I wonder how much of it was. I mean, you think Russell Wilson would be able, and I guess he did because he won the game, but would be able to overcome the too high safety thing that they were doing the entire game that seemed to be befuddling him. But beyond that, it just felt like Zimmer was doing a lot of uncharacteristic things. Like he was being aggressive in all facets of the play calling, but especially on defense, lots of blitzes. But beyond that, there were multiple coverage sacks. Eric Wilson had an amazing game. I mean, it felt like Zimmer felt like they had to really pin their ears back to have a chance to win this game. So they went into it thinking, well, we don't really have that great of a shot to win, so why not go for it? And it was refreshing,
right,
but also a little bit aggravating because it's like, man, is that really what Zimmer could be doing if he wasn't so
That's a good point.
All the time? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think he was, you know, it was so far this year holding back on blitzing because he did need to protect the safeties, the young players back there. And maybe that's a product of him starting to get some confidence in him that he says, okay, I can send these guys in. It's so fun to watch a blitz all of a sudden. And if you can blitz someone like Russell Wilson, maybe he doesn't have room to get out of the pocket as much and you can get him down, which they did. It was really strange. Russell Wilson seemed like either he was off or he was really confused by what the Vikings threw at him. So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's another – I mean, speaking of blueprints, it just seems like something – I mean, despite the fact that they lost and it could take the wind out of their sails a little bit, something to build on. I mean, I think that
– Certainly.
This season has always been a rebuild or a growth season. I think that's why they didn't go after Snacks Harrison. I think that's why they still won't go after Josh Klein. But speaking of that, it's going to – I mean – The main reason that I'm like, okay, well, I mean, Elfline will be back in the next couple weeks, if not this. I don't know where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
Because three games. It's been three games now, I think. But
right.
I can't
remember. After the bye, maybe, I suspect.
I mean, well, here's the thing. I was going to say, I can't remember a Vikings offensive lineman that's been this bad, but to be honest with you, Mike Remmers has been this bad, was this bad. Compton was this bad. There seems to be a through line or a pattern there. But Samia,
but it's mostly,
I mean,
it's mostly just, I'm sorry, go ahead. I'll let
no,
you
I was just going to say, Samia's just been, I mean, when you have like Chris Collinsworth literally, say, I mean, at one point he had three holding penalties. He was just getting burned. I mean, he had a couple of nice run blocks, I guess, as you alluded to, but he's so bad that he almost single-handedly disrupts the entire offensive game plan.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, when you throw in those penalties, I mean, you know, obviously his troubles are on pass blocking, and it's such night and day from what he's run blocking that maybe by that virtue that his run blocking looks better than it is. But I guess when you throw on those penalties, it was so atrocious on his pass blocking that you can't really say that it's mitigated by his decent run blocking. You know, that's why he's in there. They are a running team and they're going to run a lot. But if you can't protect any better than he did that night without getting a penalty, boy, you can't be on the field.
No, I mean, it's those, you know, you have these promising drives and they end up being first and 20. And I think the offensive game plan was specifically like wishful thinking going into the game was let's have these long methodical drives that takes the ball out of the hands of Russell Wilson and these amazing wide receivers that he has. And it, for the most part, worked. I mean, they had multiple drives that were like a quarter long, it felt. That's probably why, I mean, when you have those long drives, though, you have to make sure that you take advantage of things in the red zone, which they, you know, had the two field goals after the first touchdown, which didn't help. The time of possession was like the first 2 weeks, but flipped. It was, you know,
amazing
Vikings. But when you have a guy, when you're dinking and dunking and picking up these first downs, when you have a guy getting 10-yard holding penalties, it just disrupts everything that they're doing.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was
you can't run anymore after that, right, Joe? I mean, when you're first 10, all of a sudden you got to pass, and that just exasperates or makes it even worse because Samia's got a pass block even more. So yeah, it really puts him in.
It's a vicious cycle, and it's really too bad because even when Alexander Mattison came in, I mean, how quickly did he get it to 100 yards? He was picking up 7-8 yards every run, and I think that. I mean, the Vikings are really, really – it's fortunate that they drafted him. You know, Dalvin should be fine after the bye, it sounds like. I literally just pulled the trigger on a trade for him right before that game, and I was like, I knew it. I knew it. It's a little disconcerting, though.
That's going to pay off.
You know, I just feel like, man, another no-contact
soft
tissue injury for this guy.
It's why they're going to have to re-sign Madison, you know, even though they've got Dalvin. I mean, if they are such a run oriented offense, which they are, and it makes the offense go, you have to commit to that then and put some more money into the running back position, no matter how much people say it's undervalued. Well, it's not on this team, boy. The good running game is what make Kirk Cousins effective in this offense, you know, with play action and just taking the pressure off him because of his line. So, they've got to resign Madison. I mean, I was screaming at the TV when they put Dalvin back in after coming out of the locker room. I said, there is absolutely no reason to do this. And now you hear later that he was begging to go in there and they only made it for one play, but it's like, you are out of your mind. You know, you just signed this guy. And if it's a groin and it's an okay groin, well, this is exactly the spot where you make it a really bad groin injury.
That's
come
what
on.
I was worried like one play. You know what I mean? Did he exacerbate it? Make it worse? Is it like an RG3 situation?
Oh, God.
I think that, fortunately or unfortunately, at least this week, we're going to see exactly how much they're going to have to pay Madison, I guess, because that was quite the national tryout for him for another team. I mean, I was trying to do my best to live tweet during the game. I don't really like doing that. I'm trying to build my own little Twitter thing, but it's just so you have to be on there all the time and you have to argue with people, and I'm just kind of over that whole aspect of being a Vikings fan on the internet, which is something I never thought I would say because that used to be my favorite part of it.
Well, just before you quickly move off, you know, talking about how good Madison looked, and one of the reasons why was that defense was gassed in the second half. Time of possession had been so flipped. I mean, I must have typed it four times. I said, their defense is gassed. Keep go after them, go after them. And they showed it. And this leads me to a point I want to make about another topic we're going to talk about, which is the fourth down call. I don't know if you want to go there yet, but that's what Zimmer said after when he made the decision to go on fourth and inches with Madison at the goal line. And at the time, my brother texts me, he says, you know, should they go for it? I said, you know, I want them to, but they should probably kick the field goal, shouldn't they? You know, anyway, they went ahead and did. And since then, I've come to the realization that I agreed. I wanted them to go, and it was the right play to call. It was the right move to make. However, afterwards, Zimmer did say, he said, well, we thought they were gassed, so we figured we could get, you know, 1 inch, which is solid, is reasoning as heck. But the problem is, when I went back and watched the game, right before the third down call, they called a timeout. And right before the fourth down call, it was a two-minute warning. So this gas defense got a nice little rest there. One play and two breaks. And so they were ready to maybe then stop you at the line. So maybe if that's your reasoning for it, you felt they were gassed, maybe, Mike, you shouldn't have made that call. Maybe you should have been a little more conservative there and kicked the field goal. But, you know, that's all hindsight now. But that's the only thing I can fault them on. I like the fact that they went for it. It breaks my heart they didn't get it. But, you know, not that bad because as Vikings fans, we've seen it before, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, I applaud the aggressive move. It made me really want to throw up at the time. The problem I have with that is the entire game that the nose tackle for the Seahawks, Jerron Reed, was having a monster game.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that was basically the only one on their defense doing anything, but he was doing it at such a successful clip that he was disrupting a lot of what they were doing. I don't know how much that is about how great he is versus where he was lined up opposite of Samia, but you decide to run at him, you know, like why would you run at him? Behind Samia, I mean, you're going at the strength of their defense in that game and also behind the weakness of our offense. And maybe they thought the Seahawks wouldn't expect that. And, you know, obviously they had CJ Ham leading the charge, and you think you should be able to pick up an inch. And to be honest with you, going back to my gripe about the spot, because I'm sure it was fine, if Madison had just extended his arm a little bit, because once he hit the ground, he kind of bounced and he put his arm a little bit more forward.
Yep.
And
yep.
Then he had it, and that's where I was like, he has it, but they spotted it where he was down because that's how football works, I guess. It doesn't really bend to the whims of my emotional well-being, clearly.
We all do.
You know, but to put a bow on the Madison thing, I think we'll see what I was saying about Vikings Twitter is that a lot of – I was saying that, man, Madison would start for over half the teams in the league, maybe more than that. And they're going to have to pay him a pretty penny, but it'll be interesting to see, not to diminish what Dalvin does, because there are a ton of plays that we could reference where he wills his way into the end zone, or he falls forward and picks up extra yards, or he does this or that. He's incredibly fast. He gets to the edge.
Vision.
Totally. Yep. I mean, he makes things look routine where the guys, when he runs to the outside, these guys have every angle on him, and he always seems to get around the edge. But it'll be interesting to see. And we don't know how good Madison is either, I guess, but how much of this is scheme and Kubiak and Dennison and what they do in that Shanahan style of running the ball, zone blocking. But I think that, yeah, it's going to cost them a lot of money to keep Madison. Again, the fourth down call, I mean, you look at it, I know Zimmer came out this week and was like, you don't have time to, this was a shot, you can tell where he falls on this thing. We don't have time to ask the analytic guys what to do on fourth and inches. You know, I think when we had one of the stat guys on the show like a year ago, he basically said that Zimmer was, or the Vikings were one of the only two teams out of the 32 that hadn't signed up for like a really expensive analytical program.
That's been a while though. Yeah.
They've done it now, but yes. I don't think Zimmer is that big of a fan of it. I mean, that comment made it seem like, whoa, where did that come from? Because
no, he's never been. Kubiak likes him though.
Well, to be honest with you, because they showed that stat, and I was trying to find it on my phone because I took a picture of it and put it in my post-game article. They showed that if you go for it and don't make it, your chance to lose or your chance to win only goes down 14%. But if you make it, it's 100% to win, right? So the stats guys would have, I'm sure, told them to go for it because they still had to make it all the way down the field from basically first and goal. They also had them in fourth and long twice, I think.
Twice, yep. Last play of the game as well, yeah.
Yeah, it reminded me of that Cardinals game where the Vikings didn't make
the
playoffs. Yeah. I've told you this story before, and I don't mean this. I'm not saying this for effect, but I was watching that with my best friend at the time. We lived together in college, and I stood up and went to the bathroom that was next to our kitchen in the house we rented down by the U, and it was like a movie. I took my glasses off. I splashed water on my face, and I stared in the mirror, and like my entire life flashed before my eyes. I was like, what am I going to look forward to now? I need a hobby.
That did put the Packers in the playoffs, so that's double burn, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. That, oh, God. Poor Mike Tice, those years. They started 6-0 and 5-1, and they missed the playoffs both times. But no, I mean, I'm not a moral victory guy. You seem to be a little bit more of a moral victory person than me. But I mean, it's hard not to feel that after this game. But again, it's also hard to say, man, if they could really dominate the Seahawks, they're pretty close to maybe doing something special. And look at what they were doing on offense, too. We had multiple Chad Beebe signings, or sightings. We had Irv Smith Jr. had a couple catches. I think people are starting to sour on him a little bit because I saw an interesting article floating around where people pointed out that the Vikings could have drafted DK Metcalf or what's his name from the Titans, A.J. Brown. I mean, that Metcalf, they kept showing during the game, like, the freakish things that he does. They were talking about Russell Wilson, calling him the next Jerry Rice, so on and so forth. I mean, he's built like a brick house. He's like the Danielle Hunter of wide receivers. I'm not going to sour on Irv Smith Jr. that quickly. I feel like, you know, there's a little bit of a screwy expectation from people who thought that Kubiak's two tight end system implied that he threw the ball to two tight ends on a regular basis. That's never been the case from looking at since like the mid 90s. I looked at every season and he's always had to run a lot of two tight end sets for run plays, for blocking, heavy personnel, that sort of thing. But he's never had two tight ends that have gotten significant amounts of catches. And if anything, I think it was just them having an insurance policy because of all of the will he, won't they offseason stuff with Kyle Rudolph last year and knowing how he's getting up there in age. But when you have a guy like Rudolph who catches 80% of the balls you throw his way, it's hard to – and now that he's blocking better too, it's hard to really take him off the field, I guess. And I also think Irv Smith Jr. is more of a wide receiver than a tight end, to be completely honest with you. I mean, he lines up in the slot 30% of the time. I don't know. It just seems like people are souring on him.
Oh, God, I don't think so. I mean, no, go ahead. I
think
hope...
it's a more of a game plan thing than his fault, though.
I was just going to say that. I think once, you know, two tight ends doesn't mean you have two tight ends on the field every time, especially if you got receivers that are pretty good in Adam Thielen and now Justin Jefferson. But I liked what I saw out of Irv, you know, and I think if you go back and look at his opportunities, his targets, and see how he's done, he's doing pretty good so far because they've been few and far between. But is that his fault, or is that, like you just said, the scheme? I mean, I think he's something they can grow with. And, you know, Kyle's probably on his last contract here. And maybe you figure out how to change your scheme to get him more involved. You know, I mean, if you realize that he's that good, and I mean, remember when he was drafted, he was the youngest guy in the league.
Yeah, that's very true.
And I think this is his third year, right?
It's his second.
His second? No, I think it's his third. Is it his second? Well, I can't. It's one of the two. We got it narrowed down. But
this is a very professional show.
anyway, he's still very young, and he's probably just learning the game, and they're starting to trust him more. And boy, I heard some other national people are saying, you know, yeah, this Irv Smith's pretty good. You know, because they hadn't seen anything of him, and it kind of surprised them a little bit. Here in Minnesota, we've known about him and been excited about him, and probably raised our expectations and weren't seeing it. So we're looking for more, but I'm actually kind of excited for him. I was really happy to see him.
Last year.
He was. Oh my goodness. Yeah. How about that?
It just feels like a lot longer than that. Yeah. I think that it's another one of those things too, where there's a difference between fan expectation or even writer expectation and what the team does. I mean, the team has said glowing things about him. Don't get me wrong, but I think a lot of people expected him to have this huge breakout year. But I also think that was predicated on people not really knowing what to expect from Justin Jefferson. I also wonder how much the Seahawks schemed to take the ball away from Jefferson, or if Thielen was just getting open so much, and he's obviously got the chemistry with Cousins, because, man, Thielen showed yet again that he is just a masterful receiver. I mean, he's so good at almost everything he does. He had an amazing game, which was nice to see. You know, I didn't know if the Vikings receivers would be able to keep up with those three receivers that the Seahawks have, which is a good sign, I guess, for Atlantic. They have two good receivers, assuming both of those guys will play. But I mean, again, it was something to say, you know, they have something here, right? It's the first 2 weeks were awful, and there was no hope, there was no positive. And then watching these last couple games, though they lost two of even the Titans game, you felt like they were winning that game. They were up in the third quarter. They were consistent and scored all four quarters. Can you hear me? Hello? But
there
you
are. I got you back.
Okay. I do want to give, and this is, I'm sure people are going to write this off as more Cousins Boboism, but I do think he deserves a little bit of, if not so much as credit, because I think a lot of people hate him and they'll never give him credit, but I think, you know, he had an atrocious start to the season, and he's really, is it true that things need to be perfect around him for him to move the chains? I wouldn't say perfect. He's playing behind Drew Samia and then last year the 27th ranked offensive line, and I think it's probably worse so far this season. But he, I mean, you want a guy who, when you have this talent at these skill positions, who can distribute the ball evenly and so on and so forth. And I think you nailed it earlier when you said, you know, that they bounced back, and it was gutsy that they did after the start to that third quarter. It felt, and then they
could have saved. Yeah,
totally. And Cousins had that awful interception where he tried to throw it over the top of Bobby Wagner. I mean, things were just seemingly falling apart, but he had a good game. I'm sure people are mad about the two fumbles, but I mean, where do you fall on that second fumble?
Well, before I get to that, like Cousins in general, yes, you're right. He's going to get more crap probably than he deserves, but ultimately people want you to win. And he's had two close games that he didn't win. And part of them you can hang on him. I hang one huge mistake is that interception that you just talked about. That was almost as maddening as that one he threw. Didn't throw out of bounds against the Packers.
That was one of the
ago.
Worst plays I've seen
yes.
ever.
From a guy that's been in the league this far, what was that? Come on, you have to
first down.
It's terrible. And you know, I mean, just throw it over the guy's head so he could maybe run down and get. I don't know. It might have been incomplete, but that's the worst thing to have happen. The other thing was wasn't his fault. But I'm going to ask you, why are they on a 2-point conversion having Kirk Cousins do a quarterback draw?
Oh God,
my God. The hole was there. For any other quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him. He didn't make the call, but man.
Maybe they were going for the unexpected, I guess, because who would have thought that would have ever been the call? But
right.
I forgot about that.
As far as the I was really mad at the time screaming at the TV, are you kidding me? But There are two interceptions. The first one was legit. It was a fumble. I'm not two interceptions, two fumbles. The first one was a fumble. The second one probably wasn't a fumble, but who cares? 15 seconds left. They weren't going anywhere. Yeah. They had to go down, and they did. They only had to get in field goal range, but with no timeouts left, they had burned it. I didn't see that happening. So I'm not as bent out of shape about that. I think it was the wrong call. I will agree with you and anybody else who said so, but I don't think it mattered in the outcome.
It would have probably just been another interception, to be completely honest with you, which, what's the difference, I guess. There's an article out there this morning from one of the writers out there in the Viking sphere who has blocked me on Twitter for some reason, I noticed, that things are falling in place for perhaps a Cousins trade to San Francisco, if not during the season, during the offseason next year. Apparently Kyle Shanahan, is enamored with Cousins, and really was he came out and said this. I think he was on a podcast with Jimmy G, or at least was talking about that move, and he talked about how he was actually depressed after they didn't land Cousins in free agency, because they obviously worked together during their time in Washington. And Garoppolo got benched last week. I think in the last nine games, he's averaged 181 yards, 8 touchdowns, 7 picks. I think his QB rating has been like 80. Apparently that experiment failed, which probably makes people in New England feel a little bit better about him getting away. Because he looked, out of the gate, he looked like this amazing new Neo Tom Brady. But that's before anyone got
Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, but I think that's before anyone got any tape on him. Strangely enough, though, what is it about these San Francisco quarterbacks who go to the Super Bowl, lose, and then are terrible after that, like Kaepernick? But, I mean, I don't know if the 49ers really want to absorb that contract, because the second that the season starts next year, after the cut deadline or whatever, they'd be on the hook for $45 million in 2022. I also don't know if the Vikings, assuming that – because they re-signed Cousins before they even did Dalvin Cook, that they would want to make that move outside of, you know, getting some sort of maybe if it's a trade and a restructure, maybe the Vikings could get a first-round pick or multiple first-round picks for Cousins. I mean, Jay Cutler was multiple first-round picks. Granted, he was younger. But I don't see that realistically happening, but especially because, as we've said, there does feel like not this season, but next season, the Vikings could have something special, and we've seen how hard it is, and the Vikings still is better than anybody, how hard it is to find a quarterback even of Cousins' level, even as bad as you think Cousins is. Statistically, he's done a lot that we haven't seen for a very long time, and he hasn't missed any time for injury, so on and so forth. So I don't think the team would do that, but it seems to be if it ever was going to happen, it could happen now.
Well, you know, I can't see it happening either, but, if you were going to say that the 49ers were not want to pay the freight on his contract, I mean, that's the going rate. I mean, I saw
that's very true
today that, or yesterday that said last night that said, comparing what the Chiefs are on the hook for Mahomes to Tannehill in Tennessee. And Tannehill was like $30 million more. And I'm going, am I seeing this right? Is this a mistake or something like that? But, because I think maybe he signed a contract after and how it's structured. I don't know what the heck it is, but it was like, that's just insane to me. But, so I'm saying if you want, and Tannehill is starting to play well. Dwight's got an undefeated team and played pretty well last night. But, so if that, and like you said, Shanahan's enamored with him, that would be the place to go. But that's a high price to pay. I don't know what the Vikings would do in the meantime. That's only if they could lose for whatever the guy's name is and lose all their games, get the first round pick.
Yeah.
You've got to have the game plan behind that. Unless you're saying they're going to trade for Garoppolo, my God, I don't think they want that here.
Yeah, because I forgot, like, Garoppolo had that monster contract himself, $137.5 million. But that was before Cousins signed, so I don't think a lot – that's as much guaranteed money as we're used to now. But you're right, that is the going rate, and I think they're going to have to adjust the salary cap at some point, because $45 million is what, 25% of the most teams'
Jeez,
cap.
That's crazy.
Even
that's
if
crazy.
Even if it was $200 million, which it's about that now.
Wouldn't that piss you off if you're playing next to that and you see Cousins,
you know,
throw that pass like
yes.
that on Sunday? Oh, God.
It's like that. There's 53 guys on this team, so there, I don't know how that's even sustainable, to be completely honest with you.
Right.
But yeah, he's due 23, 24, 24 in base salary on the next couple seasons. That's $20 million less than Cousins. But
Joe,
I doubt the Vikings want Garoppolo either.
Right. To put a point on it for me. If what you're saying and kind of what I was intimating at, the Vikings are moving back up quicker in their rebuild than maybe anticipated because of their defense getting better, and they have to do it in a short time because they do have some aging vets on it. If that's the case, I mean, I don't think you'd trade Cousins. I think you'd find somehow to protect him better and make things more perfect for him in the offense, because he is one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the league when he has a chance to throw, and he does know how to read a defense. Is he perfect? Does he panic at times and get happy feet? Yes, 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 and yes. Does he make some bonehead plays? Yeah, we're seeing it on occasion. But, you know, from what I've seen from Garoppolo, he's certainly not any better than Cousins, and he's far worse. And I don't know why. You said it as well. It's hard to find somebody at that level. I think Cousins is an above average quarterback, but not very far above.
He's
a pretty good quarterback.
He's the second most accurate quarterback in league history. He's a full percentage point behind Drew Brees at 67.6%, but he's actually less than 66.8, so he's 0.9% behind Brees. But then he's 0.8%.
Do you have these things memorized, Joe?
Yeah, it's my lower back tattoo. but I think Pennington's 66 even. Dak Prescott's 66 even. Man, yeah, Dak, yikes. Yeah, my fantasy quarterback, and he was the number one guy. You nailed it, and it just pisses me off all over again. The fact that they haven't protected him better when it doesn't really cost that much in terms of draft capital to get a guard is maddening. I mean, I know they used a fourth round pick on Drew Samia, and I've been arguing they should use, you know, a third, fourth, or fifth round pick on these guards. But I mean, going back to maybe instead of getting Irv Smith, you could have drafted. This is all hindsight, but let's say they got DK Metcalf. They're like, holy crap, you know, they let Diggs go, but they have him. Then they can, you know, maybe trade down and get a really good guard in this last draft. But they have to shore up the offensive line this next offseason. I don't really see the point in bringing back Klein at this point. I don't see the point of the Snacks Harrison thing either. I think the more losses, the better.
I think they end up getting a keeping Cousins and drafting a left tackle next year. You know, if they get a really good bet, there's a really good one at the top, maybe the third highest rated player right now. And if the Vikings continue to lose, you know, close games like they do, and they'll be right in there. And I suspect that's what they've got to do, because, you know, Reef is fine, but he's not the future. And if you want to win now, so that's what I see happening more than trading Wayne Cousins.
And
so.
I could see the Vikings opponent this week and end up with the number one pick. And they definitely need someone to replace Matt Ryan. People are talking about him being benched. I wonder, you know, I don't watch a lot of I haven't seen any Falcons games, but I wonder how bad they really are. I mean, they obviously have those two really good wide receivers, but they've been injured this year. I mean, Calvin Ridley, I think, missed one game because he's on my fantasy team. Julio Jones. They have Todd Gurley, who's looked pretty okay from what I've seen. You know, their defense is atrocious. They're really vulnerable at their cornerback position. They have one really good something the Vikings should be used to at this point. What's the nose tackle? Grady Jarrett, who's a lot like Jerron Reed, to be completely honest with you, which, as we mentioned earlier, he kind of threw a wrench in the gears of some of the Vikings were doing in the second half, especially. But this is a very winnable game. The Falcons do?
Yeah, new coach and GM. They fired him.
Oh, they did?
This week, yes. Dan Quinn, yeah. He got let go on Monday morning. He got let go.
I thought that would happen, but I hadn't heard that, strangely enough. I don't watch enough SportsCenter anymore, I guess.
Or which sports I should, at
I,
all.
I probably should, because we're expanding into new territory, and I'll give people a hint. The new site, the team, rhymes with Minnesota Mild. But, yeah, what are your thoughts on the game this weekend? Is there any reason to really watch it, I guess?
Yeah, yeah, because I got to talk about it on sports? Wednesday. I want to see him win a game. You know, we're not going to get to watch him for 2 weeks. They're on the bye the next week, so yeah, I'm definitely going to watch it. And you know, I will say this much: as bitter of a pill it was to swallow on Sunday, to quote my brother, they showed me something last week that they're not you know a toilet bowl team. They're not so bad. They're not the team we saw in the first 2 weeks that you just threw up your hand and said, "Oh my God." I was talking about looking at the schedule and saying they might not win until after the bye.
And they might not win, period.
Yes. And so this is not that team. They could have won against Tennessee. They could have, and Tennessee's a good team. Tennessee's undefeated. They could have won and should have won against Seattle. And they're undefeated, and one of the best teams in the NFC. So they are not so overmanned and out-coached and out everything that I'm willing to throw up my arms, you know, my hands. I will definitely watch, and you know, because I'm like you, I like watching Vikings football. So.
Yeah, and like you said, there's a lot of there's a lot to get excited about. I think a lot to, you know, how did my dad put it? Well, we're basically watching for the offense at this point. I think that's kind of true, but
the future.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on defense that is of interest, and it should to see how these guys are doing week to week. Like you said, Gladney did better. Dantzler, I guess, is TBD on that, but you know, also seeing
and Eric Wilson.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, that guy has come in multiple times and filled in for Barr, and I tweeted this during the game. He might be the most, now that Anthony Harris is all locked in with his that's the opposite of a franchise tag being locked into anything, but being held here against his will, I guess is the better way to put it. I think Eric Wilson is one of the most underappreciated guys in the on the team.
I would agree with that. Yeah, he's you know, and his early on, I think he went from special teams to getting some spot duty on defense, and now he's a full-time starter, and I think he has progressed along, maybe not as quickly as we wanted, you know, and then again, there wasn't room for him. When you had Byron Kendricks, you couldn't get on the field much in passing situations, so he's now getting a full look of him. I thought he started playing well last year the second half. And I think this is just an extension of it. So I think we can feel good about having him in the linebacking core, and hopefully he stays healthy along with Kendricks the rest of the season so they aren't so terrible. But, yeah, no, I actually – and he's made some splash plays, you know. He's got two interceptions. So they said there was a stat. He's one of, like, three guys or maybe even not that many who has two interceptions and two sacks this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I want to say he's the only person in the league that has that. That ain't nothing.
He was, I mean, Russell Wilson will probably have nightmares about him. He was all over the field, a la Kendricks. But in the backfield, he was, God, that game was just, man. That's gonna be a tough pill to swallow for a while. But again, it at least showed that I care, I guess, a little bit.
Before
we get into our world-known prediction segment, I wanted to remind people to go to manscaped.com and use discount code MorningJoes for 20% off and free shipping on your first order. Autumn is in the air, and Manscaped is here to ensure you don't carve your pumpkins when you're grooming. By pumpkins,
oh my.
by pumpkins, we actually mean your boys downstairs. I'm glad they clarified that. In fact, Manscaped is on a mission to change the way you approach caring for your nether regions. That's an executive decision by me. And great news, they just released their products in the UK, Canada, and Australia. So for all of our fans down under, before a dingo can eat your baby, take care of your baby-making machine. I forget what I texted you. I think I said 43-31 was going to be
is
my
that
prediction
for the Seahawks game.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't add that one up. I know that mine was 31-24, and so I was off by six. So I'll have to figure yours out. But I had
43-31 would mean 20. It was 27-26. So I was off by five for the Vikings and off by 10-16. So I was off by 21 total. So you
and I was
six.
Off by six.
So you now you're beating me.
Yes, because the previous week I tied you up. So
yeah.
It's now I've got a 15-point lead. So
this is a hard one to guess because you don't know. Well, Dalvin's not going to play. Julio
right.
Jones might not play. Calvin Ridley might not play. They very well could bench Matt Ryan by halftime. So who knows what's going to happen? But I think you know the Falcons are bad. They have a new head coach. I mean, as we saw though with Romeo Crennel, you can maybe get one of those one or two wins out of the interim head coach because people rally. But yeah, I think the Vikings are going to win this game, and I think that it should be a pretty comfortable win. I'm gonna go with 31-16.
Wow.
Vikings with a win, going 2-2 and 4 into the.
Okay, well, I've got not much different than that. In fact, I got the same score as last week, 31-24. So we have 8 points up for grabs there, I guess, and we will see what happens. I think they will. They're going to build off of what they did last week, and that gave them some confidence. It probably ticked them off a bit, and I think that they got a really weak team coming in. This is going to be one of their for sure wins this year because Atlanta is reeling. Like I said, new coach, new GM, they are reeling. So you could get a wounded animal, or you could get somebody that said, we have no idea what's going on. So, and Zimmer said just because they switch a new coach, it's not enough time to put in a whole new scheme. So they will know what to expect. And he says they might be more aggressive, but I think the Vikings will beat them because I think they're going to be ticked off, kicking away a couple games they should have won.
You know how you can trade for a head coach in the NFL?
Bill Belichick has done it, yeah.
Can you trade for a GM? And if so, who makes that call? Does the GM decide to trade himself? Because I'm sure the Falcons would love to have Spielman. But I also think that I want to give a final just little thing. I think Zimmer deserves credit for the way this team has bounced back. I mean, the record hasn't really reflected it wholly, but they were atrocious the first couple weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
And then what did they follow that up with? Injuries, you know? They had a bunch of rookies and nothing the last week, especially the week before this last game. They were so thin at corner already, but considering the injuries there, Anthony Barr goes out, so on and so forth, and they've really rallied and they've made the team at least exciting again. I mean, one of my biggest fears the last couple seasons was, God, what am I going to do when the Vikings are bad and I have to cover the team, you know? And the record's bad, but I mean, we're excited about a lot of different aspects of the team, and we still feel like they're one or two tweaks away from doing something special. And considering all of that combined with the salary cap hell, as Collinsworth mentioned a couple times during the broadcast, they were just, you know, up against it with the cap, and it was just bad and all that. I commend what he's done.
Wow, that's coming from you.
Yeah, I know. And I can hear my dad at the post office downtown shaking his head with judgingly. You know, I still am a little – I just feel like they're wasting this window with Cousins and with because he needs to be – he needs some semblance of protection. That goes without saying, but him especially, because we've seen him do some really next-level stuff in spurts, and that's usually when he, you know, rolls out of the pocket, so on and so forth. And so hopefully that's what they'll do this offseason, and then, I mean, the sky really could be the limit, especially if they're able to figure out some cap space and maybe bring in a good veteran corner, so on and so forth. So, yeah, credit to Zimmer. For this turnaround, because he's got fans excited again.
Well, you and I get to sit here and pontificate about it, and we can nuance it. Unfortunately, just like the same grade for Cousins is the grade in the NFL has got to win, and so yeah. I agree with you with mostly what you just said, and I'm surprised to hear it coming from you, but
it tasted bad coming out of my mouth.
You can see it. Yeah, Zimmer's got to get wins. He knows that, and you know he's got a new contract. Cousins has got a new contract. They got to win some games. They're not going to lose for Lawrence. They're not going to tank for Trevor or whatever it is. This is what we got. I'm heartened. I'll definitely tune in and watch them because I think they'll probably win pretty easily this weekend, to be perfectly honest.
I think so too, and also I think it goes without.
It's hard to say about a 1-4 team, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, it says a lot about the Falcons, actually.
Yeah,
but it also says a lot about again how much the team has improved, and it's almost as if the what is it the coaches. Oh, that would have been so funny if I nailed the landing. The coaches know something we don't, or no more. I was trying to make a callback. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
But anyway, this has been Morning Joes for the 14th of October. Manscaped.com, Morning Joes, one word, 20% off. Pumpkins, grooming, so on and so forth. We'll catch you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in. Oh, and if you guys are listening to this on a platform that you're not used to listening to your podcast on, if you're an Amazon person, if you have an Alexa machine, just ask Alexa for Morning Joes or Minnesota Vikings podcasts and or Morning Joes Vikings, and you'll find the show now on Amazon Music and through Alexa, which is pretty exciting. But again, Morning Joes, 14th of October. Ghosts, cats, so on and so forth. Skull.
Our cars will break down, and when they do, the repair bill can be devastating. Not anymore. You need Protect My Car. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying expensive repair bills. Call Protect My Car at 800-392-8795 now to see if you could qualify. Just tell us the make and model and get an instant quote right over the phone and get coverage today. For cars between 2008 and newer, expensive repairs for the engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past. Call Protect My Car at 800-392-8795 now before your next repair bill hits. For total protection of your car, truck, or SUV, and less repair bills, plus free oil changes, free tire rotations, and free roadside assistance. Just call 800-392-8795 now. Protect your car and your wallet. Call 800-392-8795. Paid for by Protect My Car. Restrictions may apply. Plans and costs for coverage may vary.
Seriously, who's blowing up my phone?
Oh, yeah. Powerball.
Big news. Powerball now draws 3 days a week. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. Play now. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player claim.